Hello, and welcome to the monthly comic spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mann. In this episode, we'll be discussing recently released comics, one from DC, one from Marvel, and at least one other. As always, we'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but we'll discuss general plot points and storylines of the comics we review. In this monthly comic spotlight, I'm joined by James, and we're going to be discussing some of the comics we got in April 2021. James, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, John?
I'm doing good. Now, I got 63 comics for a total cover price of $263.37.
Wow.
It's not that big of a thing. I mean, again, I've had weeks in the past where I was getting way too much, and that would come on a single week. But it's split roughly a three-way split, DC, Marvel, Other, with Marvel taking a little bit more and Other a little bit less.
Yeah, Marvel prints a little bit more than DC today. And Other, it's just been like, I notice I'm getting less and less stuff in the Other section, too.
Yeah, for me, it's really thinning out. And yeah, there are a couple that I could drop if I really needed to cut back. And there's just, I mean, I'm going through previews every month. I'm just not seeing a whole lot that excites me personally back there.
Yeah.
And I know other people are finding a lot of stuff outside of Marvel and DC, which is great, but they have slightly different tastes, and I think those publishers cater more to that than what I'm into.
Yeah. DC, our first publisher we're going to be talking about, the interesting thing is they made a lot of the cuts for us, I think, because they're just printing so many fewer titles. And on top of that, what's weird is there's some titles I wasn't buying that I like a little bit more after Future State, and some that I was liking a little bit more before Future State that I'm liking less now. So it's weird.
Well, it's funny because there are some cuts I would like to make at DC, but it's mainly like some backup features.
Oh yeah, I'd like to cut all those.
And it's one of those things that I really don't like that Midnighter thing, and I know I've mentioned this a few times, sound like a broken record, but in Action Comics, but they're at the risk of, because they're getting that extra dollar out of me for it, they may lose the $4.99 cover price out of me for the whole thing if they're not careful.
That's the exact same thing I'm feeling, because I'm feeling that with Action and Wonder Woman. So Action and Wonder Woman, I like the main title a lot, but it's that backup story. I'm like, man, if this thing goes awry, if the main story kind of gets to the, it's just kind of so-so, then I'm going to look at, man, I'm paying $5 for this, why do I want to buy it?
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is going to get to the point where if the lead story has a serious bump in the road and it's like, well, I'm also paying for this junk in the back, or let me rephrase that. It's not junk. I'm sure the creators put their heart and soul into it and that there's an audience that absolutely loves it. But if they're forcing me to buy a backup feature that has, in some cases, nothing to do with the lead feature, that's a strike against the book in terms of a purchase and stuff, particularly when these things are, you know, $4.99 cover price.
Yep.
I mean, even after discount, these things are getting fairly expensive.
They really are. It's kind of amazing because, like, originally I was, you know, when I went to discounting, I went to DCBS. Mm-hmm. You know, my local comic shop gave me no deals, basically, so I was paying full freight there. And I was like, wow, I feel like I can buy so much more, and so I did. And I was spending the same amount of money, but I got, you know, let's say 40% more books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then frustrations with them, I moved over to Cowabunga, which is now Deep Discount Comics, which I'm very happy with their service.
Same here.
But I'm seeing the price tick up on those singles, and like, if I was not making these cuts by going through this list on those back half titles, and even some Marvel and DC, it would be getting expensive right now.
When I was going through my last order form for Deep Discount Comics, I had noticed that it totaled up to more than I was expecting it to. And there was no real change in how they were discounting or anything like that. It's just more of these comics are, you know, $3.99, $4.99, or $5.99, or something like that. And because when I get to that point where it's like, this is more than I was expecting, I basically go to the total cost thing, filter it down, basically look for the high-ticket items.
Yeah.
Is there a hardcover that, do I really need it or not? And 50-50, if it made the list, it's like, yeah, I'm probably going to get it, but you know, there are some easy things I can knock out sometimes, and it's just I wasn't seeing it this time.
Wow. So that's kind of eye-opening. And what's interesting, or what I find interesting, is that you have people who kind of dabble in comics. They buy five or six titles because it's expensive, and they just buy the absolute favorite things. You know, I get this because I've always bought this and I love it, or I want one title from this company, one title from this company. This is the flagship, let's say Batman or Avengers or Spider-Man, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
But then the people who buy a lot of the comics tend to be, and I've said this before, business owners, engineers, programmers, doctors.
Yeah.
It's not a middle income, or especially if you have kids and stuff, or even a poor man's sport. It's become so expensive, and people say, why do kids not read it? They can't afford to.
No, and I think that's going to be one of the things that ultimately, if the industry's not careful, is going to kill the hobby, is you can't really be a casual reader these days.
You really can't.
I mean, the price, I think, almost precludes that. And even if it didn't, well, 6 issues to get the full story, so you've got a certain, you know, half your time commitment sometimes there. And it's just, it's not a winning combination for them. And right now with DC in particular, where it's still kind of finding its way after Future State, or we're finding its way, whatever, I'm sure they've got a game plan and such. And then there's this, I don't say resentment or whatever, but displeasure with the backup features in a number of the books and stuff. I mean, there are going to be some people who, I mean, if I were all in, it's like, yeah, I'd have been getting it anyway, so who cares? But I'm not. And they're kind of putting me a little more in than I want to be.
Yeah.
And that's where the frustration comes in. Because, I mean, there's a couple of bucks I could have easily saved, you know, with the Midnighter backup feature or the Justice League Dark backup feature or that Wonder Woman backup feature. I mean, that's the equivalent of a comic book price right there.
Exactly. And it's stuff that, you know, we kind of talked about this with me, you, and Sam recorded, and Eric.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I don't know, but my guess is they say not enough people are buying this title that it can't stand on its own. So let's stick it on the back here. Well, to me, that's not a good use of, you know, creative talent, time, dollars, endeavors. Either put top tier creator, put a Tom Taylor on Justice League Dark. Maybe he can turn it around. But don't stick it with some, typically it's done by a creator that I don't care for. It's a newer creator, and stick it on the back of something that I want to buy and charge me for it when I never wanted it. I dropped Justice League Dark to begin with. I would not have bought the kid's Diana book to begin with.
Yeah, and yeah.
So I just feel like, it gives you that yucky feeling where, like, I've been taken advantage of.
Well, and I've often thought in the past that those of us that were kind of all in were sort of subsidizing some of the lesser titles or whatnot. And now it's very literally true without having to be all in.
Yeah. Of
if you're supporting Justice League, you are by, you know, nature or de facto or whatever, supporting Justice League Dark, whether you want to be or not. And again, that's not to say that's a horrible property or anything of the sort, but it's a horrible practice to be kind of lumping them in that way.
Yeah.
And if it's getting to where they're forcing me to spend an extra buck or two on some of these backup features I don't want, that may kill one or two of the lesser titles that were standalone, because it gets squeezed out. I mean, everybody's got a budget and stuff, and, you know, it used to be that you could do, you know, 10, 20 bucks a week on comics and get a decent amount of comics. These days, you get, what, 4, maybe 5?
That's it.
If you're paying full boat. Obviously, this is why I recommend, you know, going through online discounters, because stuff's expensive.
It's really expensive. So I told you this story a million times, but I still just, I could see the expression on her face. My wife went into the comic store with me one time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And just the look on her face when I had this little stack of comics and the guy's like, 80 bucks. And she looked at me, she's like, how much? And it's just like, yeah, this stuff's expensive. And shortly after that, that's when I went to DCBS. But yeah, I'm like, yeah, I'm paying too much.
Yeah, that's causation, not correlation.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because I do think DC's got a couple of things that are really doing well right now.
Yeah. What did you like out of, I guess it's the month of April.
Yeah, month of April. Nightwing 79. I thought the first Tom Taylor issue was good. This was even better.
I agree. This one I would have given it an A+. I think Tom Taylor is killing it on the title. The art is amazing. And, you know, some of the panel layout. I like this cute dog that he's even put into it to create this emotional resonance, you know?
Did you catch the Easter egg they tossed in there?
Which one? I probably didn't.
The pizza place.
No, I didn't catch it.
It was Marvin George's.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, I didn't catch that.
I mean, they created Nightwing.
Yes, they did.
And it's interesting, they even get credit on the credits page for Nightwing created by Marv Wolfman and George Perez. And I mean, no two ways about it. They created that Nightwing character. But what I find fascinating about this is Robin was pre-existing. The name Nightwing was pre-existing. Nightwing as a Batman-style character was even pre-existing.
Yep.
Now, that's not to downplay anything that they did, because, again, they did a great job and just a ton of characterization for that character before, during, and after he became Nightwing and such. But, again, I find it interesting what does and doesn't get kind of the so-and-so created by so-and-so.
Yeah, very true. And I'll tell you what, I honestly like Nightwing more than Batman.
Mm-hmm.
I think you might feel the same way. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, Batman's just, to me, not a likable character. He's always glum and depressed and And then he's a billionaire who, in the past, you know, right now there's stuff going on. But I'm just kind of like, billionaires aren't accessible, aren't likable. Whereas when you take Nightwing and you turn him into a billionaire, he becomes a very likable guy.
He's always been a likable guy.
Yeah.
But he spends his money wisely.
He really does. I thought that was really clever and just smart writing. And I thought that was the best title this month from DC.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was just terrific, you know, fantastic stuff all the way around. The other one I really enjoyed was Batman Scooby-Doo Mysteries.
Oh, I didn't get that.
This one was basically Batman's got the Scooby Gang to solve some stuff for him. Not that he couldn't solve it at a, you know, intellectual level or whatever, but there's a couple of things where it's just he can't be involved to go do it. And in this one, part of why he couldn't be is it was a time travel thing going into his past. So having somebody else go do that just kind of sort of made sense.
Very cool.
It was very much what we'd been getting with the Scooby-Doo team-ups and stuff like that in terms of tone and style. And they have a, you know, kind of a Batman museum that had various Batman costumes and vehicles. It was cool.
Awesome. Hey, now, one that I did see in your video when you were opening your box, you got Robin number one. Did you like it?
It was all right. I'm not going to say I loved it. I thought it was, you know, competent or whatever. Kingsnake, that was a character from the Tim Drake Robin series, so it's
yep.
I guess they're using him here, whatever. Ton of cameos.
Yes.
And I felt the end of the story, or the issue, I should say, not the story, clearly going to be backtracked.
It has to. I was just like, that's telegraphed right there.
There's no way it can't be.
Yeah. that was the one thing. That was the thing I gave it a knock for, was the ending. I was like, this ending, you can't do that. I've seen that too many times.
Yeah, and there were just so many cameos, some of which made no sense, but they're just kind of there, so I don't know what's going on, and I don't know. It was not the best Robin story I've read. It was not the worst. It was okay, but man, if I had to choose between this Robin series and, say, the Tim Drake one where Kingsnake originated and stuff like that, I'd go hands down with Tim Drake.
Oh, okay. See, I hadn't read that, so I enjoyed this one. It wasn't my favorite, but I thought it was a good read.
That was all right.
And then there was two other ones that I really liked, and I don't know if you would have liked them, but I really liked the Action Comics, but that's because I like the War World thing. Did you like it? Action 1030?
I thought it had a nice moment between John and Damian.
Okay, and other than that, you didn't like it?
Well, it looks like we've got more survivors of Krypton.
Yeah, that's what I was like, what in the heck's going on
here? And I'm like, every time it looks like we get another survivor of Krypton or something, sooner or later they're going to feel, oh, we've got too many of them. And then it's going to be, let's go back to basics. No, we don't have enough of them.
Yeah, see, I'm liking the story, and I like where it's headed. But at the same time, it seems like they're setting up Clark to basically be done, to die or something.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just like...
Have you seen the next round of solicits?
Yeah. I was just like, are they really going to do it?
It's starting to look like we're getting some of the 5G stuff just without the 5G branding.
Yeah, they're doing it. Wow.
Yeah. The other thing for me, the lead story in Action, it was good. It just felt short or incomplete.
Yeah, that I agree. And I literally skipped the end story because it was so bad.
Oh, yeah, I would have dropped the Midnighter thing if I could have, but came bundled with the main story. But the insult to injury there is part of it is I just don't like the art style on the Midnighter stuff. And I'm not crazy about the take they're going with Midnighter and stuff. But to have come off a lead story where I'm thinking, gosh, if only they had more pages. Oh, wait, they do, and that's what they used them for.
We allocated. One thing, and it could change in the future. I think the reason why I didn't get angry, because Marvel, usually when they do a number one, it's like the $4.99. And mm-hmm. then the subsequent issues go to the $3.99. But I think the reason why I didn't get angry when those are $4.99 is because it's, you know, 95% of the time, it's one whole story of that first issue. And it's a meaty chunk to get you up to speed. And I don't mind that as much as something being stuck on the back.
Yeah, if we got a fuller story and they used the page as well, I'd be happy if it was, you know, 30-page, you know, Action Comics story or something.
Instead, you feel like you paid $5 for a somewhat normal-sized Action Comics story.
Well, yeah. You know, it's now to get the full arc of something going to be, you know, $30 cover price or whatever, because you're again, paying for, you know, the backup feature and stuff. It's just, it's not a winning combination, and it's really putting a bit more emphasis for me on, as a single story, do I feel it's got enough payoff to have justified itself?
Yeah.
And Action Comics was one of the lower ranking ones for me this time at DC.
Oh, okay. All right. Interesting. I liked it. I would have given it like a B+. But that, I just liked the main story at the beginning.
I was more like a C+.
Ah, all right. We're part there. Now, you're not getting Joker, but I did get that, and I really did like Joker. So I cool. thought that was good.
Okay.
And then what else did you like?
I liked the first issue of Challenge of the Super Sons. I thought that was fun.
Yeah, that was fun.
Premise could have been built up a little better, but it's cool having him back, and it's a good springboard for a concept. The other one I want to talk about, and I enjoyed it, but I'm going to probably slam it quite a bit as we talk here. And one of them came out at the end of last month, but it took an extra week for me to get it, so I'm counting it this month. And that's Flash 768 and 769.
I'm glad you're saying you want to talk about this, because that was the title I felt like it's gotten worse since it's reappeared. Because I liked Williamson's run. It was decent, but this one I wasn't enjoying.
Man, I am of two very different minds on this one.
Okay.
Because I thought the story was a little better or more... gosh, I'm not even sure how to phrase it. More entertaining. Let's go with that.
Okay.
I thought the art was more to my liking.
Okay.
But this whole bit, and we're going to talk about this some. I think this is going to be one of the main titles we also talk about a bit when we do Infinite Crisis number 0, which we'll do in a little bit as a back issue spotlight, kind of as it goes, or Infinite Frontier, I mean, as Infinite Frontier, leading up to Infinite Frontier 1-6 or whatever, as yeah. we've gotten a little more time passed there as they've started some of these things. Because now everything's happened, everything matters, so Heroes in Crisis is still clearly in continuity. I mean, they even reference it here at the beginning of this first Flash thing.
Correct.
But it makes it a bit hard to buy Wally as the Flash again.
Yeah.
And I like Wally as the Flash, so I don't have a problem with him as the Flash. But I was not expecting one or two of the other things here, given what they'd said over in Frontier number 0. And then there's this whole Quantum Leap premise with Wally as Sam Beckett leaping from speedster to speedster to put right what once went wrong or is wrong with the Speed Force or whatever.
Yeah.
And the whole thing there is just, and don't get me wrong, I love Quantum Leap as a series. So I don't have a problem with that. It's just, it feels derivative here.
It really does.
So it undercuts so much of it, and this whole undercuts so many recent storylines.
Correct. This is the one that just has not been sitting well with me. It just feels off, and I just don't enjoy it as much. It was kind of cool, the first, you know, issue where you get that, like you said, jumping around. We even mm-hmm. get the dinosaurs and stuff like that, and I'm okay with Wally. I thought it was weird that what they did with Barry, you know. I like Barry just because of the TV show. it's the Flash I like.
I'm a longtime Flash reader, so I mean, yeah, I grew up with Barry.
Yeah, so I like him, but I don't know, just the series feels off, and maybe it's because of the continuity and things they're doing. It feels...
Well, okay, so I don't want to say backpedaled, but they went a different direction with Barry than we were expecting after Infinite Frontier Zero.
Correct.
They're doing the Quantum Leap riff, which if you've never watched the show, maybe you don't catch. In the next issue, 769, we get Goldbug, and starting with her bugs being smaller on the inside, which is, you know, kind of a fun riff on Doctor Who, But then it's seeming like we're going to see Gold Beetle again, because she's met Wally before, but this is his first time meeting her. Shades of Doctor Who and River Song and stuff. So, okay, now this is the Doctor Who issue of Flash. And I think there's an aspect where, again, it's feeling derivative or a little riffy on other stuff. And Brandon Peterson's art looks terrific, but it also looks fairly 3D, by which I mean Poser, Daz Studio, that kind of 3D generated stuff.
That's what it feels like, yep.
And I don't have any problem with that, because if I were to do a comic, that's frankly the technology I want to use. But I can see where it's also subtly off-putting, kind of the uncanny valley in a comic book sense.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm really looking forward to where they ended with the JSA type stuff, but while I like this story, I'd appreciate a bit more originality, and I don't know, this is one that, depending what mood I'm in, I'm really enjoying it and being entertained by it, but I'm also not really respecting it either.
Yeah, I enjoyed the first issue, 768, and the 769 less so. Anyways, it's just off for me. It's one of the ones I'm just not enjoying as much. I am enjoying Green Lantern and Justice League, though. I think those are good, decent. And Wonder Woman.
Green Lantern I'm liking a lot more than the previous GL series that I dropped.
A lot more. I'm back on that one. I'm enjoying it.
It's a bit of a slow start to the series. It felt like all set up, no payoff yet.
Yep, I agree.
Justice League, you know, I like the lead story. Ended on kind of a surprisingly quiet note or whatever. But again, that Justice League Dark, I'd be cool to see Ragman. But I'd skip this if it was a different title.
I don't know how I feel about the recruitment of those two characters. I mean, I'm fine with... Okay, I don't know if it's spoilery, but like, I'm fine with Naomi, or Noah, Naomi, that's her name, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine with her. But the other one, they're talking about Black Adam. I'm just like, I don't see that ever happening. What is going on here?
You've not read the Geoff Johns run of JSA, have you?
No, I have not. I have it in omnibus form, but I still have not read it. Was Black Adam in it?
Yeah, he was a member, and well used.
That's why. Okay, I've always seen him as kind of like, not really a heel, but this guy who's a little bit arrogant.
Oh, yeah.
He's a leader of a country. He's the equivalent of a Superman, but more, I would say, skewed towards the bad side, a little bit more towards the bad side. And so I'm just like, with Superman already being there, I don't think they would need, you know, Black Adam. It's just weird.
From a power perspective, certainly not, although there are advantages to having him in addition to Superman if you go up against magic or whatever.
Correct.
But Black Adam is the closest thing DC has, in some respects, to Doctor Doom.
Oh, okay, okay. That makes sense. You know, now that you say it like that, he is like a Doctor Doom.
He's somewhere between there and Namor. Both are heroes in their own mind. But
yep,
if
leaders of countries.
Leaders of countries, and if their interests align with yours, you're doing fine. But if they don't, it's not going to work well.
Very true. Ah, all right. That's how I'll look at him from now on. All right.
I liked it, but this is one of those things that I feel I'm being overcharged for what I'm getting in terms of the amount of story content for Justice League, period, per issue.
I do not want Dark. Justice League Dark.
Well,
I literally dropped that title. I dropped that and Odyssey. I just was reading Justice League. Now I'm stuck with Dark again.
Yeah, but if you go with a standard 6-issue arc, it's going to feel like it takes even longer for these things to play out.
Yeah, whereas they could be doing 4-issue arcs with the amount of pages that are there, which would be, we discussed that, much easier to remember 4 months previous versus 6.
Yeah,
and you get a lot more meat on the bone. I would love that.
So it's, we've beat that to death, and no doubt we'll do so next time around.
Yeah, Wonder Woman or Superman, did you enjoy those?
Let's see, Superman and Wonder Woman, I thought both of them were okay. With Superman, the main story, wasn't great, wasn't horrible. Ambush Bug, I'm a fan of the character, so I had some expectations. This is not a classic Ambush Bug tale.
Yeah.
But kind of the closest I've seen in the mainstream DC title in probably decades, so there was that. That was nice. With Wonder Woman, like the main story, but skip the backup feature, and it's a slow burn on the lead story.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because, like, I'm really enjoying the Wonder Woman story. I'd like the 770 more than the 771. It slowed down a little bit. But that and Action, those are the two books where I literally just skip the story. I don't even try anymore. I'm like, okay, I'll just skip these last 10 pages.
Yeah, and I think doing these, going back to the backup features, doing these on some of their lead books is really draining my interest on some of them.
Very much so. We are feeling the same thing.
Yeah. Shall we move over to Marvel?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. For me, the high point was Fantastic Four 31.
I like that, too.
We also got the issue 30 this month, too.
Yes, we did.
And I thought that was a solid, not brilliant issue of FF, but solid. But 31 worked a lot better for me. It was just fun and interesting bit there at the end with Franklin and stuff. And I'm just kind of curious where they're going with some of these characters.
Yeah. Franklin's going to go get therapy, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll be
kind of
cool.
In that house, you're going to need it. I don't care which member you are.
Very true. And I think it's going to be kind of cool. The whole Imagination Land thing was kind of funny. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of like a one-off fun story, but it wasn't a one-off. So I liked it. Like you said, I liked it more than 30 because 30 was just kind of pulling off that King in Black thing and just kind of wrapping that all up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there was a lot like that. And I feel like most of the X books, there was a couple that I enjoyed, I think. But most of them seem like they have these just kind of so-so stories as they're working up towards this Hellfire thing that's going to be coming up, I think, next month. So that's how I felt about them. I felt like not a lot's happening in most of the X-books right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. There were a couple where I'm not caring for the current arc. Certainly with X-Force, at least that ended the arc, so there's that.
Yeah, and was it good?
X-Men Legends, I mean, I was reading X-Factor off the rack at the time. But, man, I just don't remember the status quo from that era well enough to kind of flow into the story and whatnot. It wasn't bad, just so out of context.
That's why I had to drop the title. It wasn't bad. My memory's not that great. And so they're picking up on these story arcs from way back, you know, 20, 30 years ago. I can't remember what's going on then. So I'm just like, I don't know what's going on. So I just kind of dropped it.
I can't even remember sometimes what's going on 20, 30 days ago.
Me too. The mind is aging rapidly. I did, out of the X-books, I think the one that I liked the most was Wolverine. And what I think the reason why it was playing up that whole vampire thing with Hickman, and it kind of, I just kind of liked what they were doing in there. And I liked that whole thing about showing the mosquitoes, biting them, and the regenerative properties when they bite. You know, yeah. Wolverine and things like that. I think that was kind of interesting to give the vampires a reason to go after him.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about the whole Vampire Nation thing, and that issue was totally setting that up.
Yeah.
And then if you go to the second Avenger issue that came out this month, 45,
that was crazy.
Yeah, it was setting up the Vampire Nation stuff, kind of in the interlude between King in Black and Heroes Reborn.
Yep. Because the vampires were addressed a long time ago, and now they're back. So
yeah.
So they're showing Blade and his status quo, basically a sheriff now.
Yeah, which I don't have any real problem with. It's just do that in its own story and its own title, so I can ignore it.
Yeah, very true. I'm happy with the Avengers that they're done with that Phoenix arc. I did not like the arc with the whole Phoenix thing.
Yeah, I thought that was just slugfest after slugfest. I'm looking forward to the Heroes Reborn. I'm going kind of all in on that thing, and we'll see what happens during it and what I get after it.
Yeah, I'm picking it all up, too, because I knew you were.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured you'd want to talk about it, because it's kind of like Marvel's take on DC.
Yeah, so, yeah, I just think that's funny.
Was there anything that really stood out to you or that you really liked?
Black Cat number 5, that was kind of fun.
That was good.
We're starting to figure out what the Black Fox's big score is and stuff, so that's cool. What else? Iron Man. It was funny, because that was really not an Iron Man issue. It was all Hellcat, no Iron Man.
That's so, literally what I wrote. It's a Hellcat book.
Bait and switch?
Yeah, it was. It was good, but it was not an Iron Man book at all.
Yeah. I mean, not bad. I liked it, but what's that say about a title when I like an issue that the lead character, the title character, isn't even really in?
That was funny. That was my comment on there. I was like, really? It's a Hellcat book. No Iron Man. That's my notes.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny.
And then Mighty Valkyries was another one I liked.
Yeah, Mighty Valkyries. I thought, okay, they had a new artist in there, and I can't remember the name because it was a very different name, a foreign name.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing art in that book. I was like, holy mackerel, this artist is good. And then Loki being hunted by his grandchildren. That was hilarious when that opened. I loved it.
Yeah, that's kind of a fun thing. And this one, this issue focused mainly on Jane Foster. I don't know if it was officially a backup feature or not, but it felt like one with the other Valkyrie and stuff. And that Kavasser the Oracle or whatever, have we seen him before?
I don't remember, honestly.
I don't remember, but I feel like we have.
I felt like it, but I don't remember, you know, for sure. But yeah, I feel like we should have seen the character before.
That seems like something out of maybe the Jason Aaron Thor era.
Yeah, and it might have been.
Yeah, who knows? Who can remember?
Hey, by the way, there was one X book that I forgot to mention. I didn't know if you read it. Way of X?
Mm-hmm.
Did you like that one?
I liked the focus on Nightcrawler, but it didn't go where I thought it was going to go, and then it looked like we're going to have another kind of core character for the book that was kind of teased there at the end.
Yeah.
And not a character I'm as interested in, but I've read the character before, and it can be fun. But those two are not ones that I would really team up myself.
Yeah, I agree. I'll tell you what, that book, I liked it more than I thought it would, just because of they're talking about the resurrection protocols and its impact on the whole of mutantdom, and, you know, the conflicting thoughts on religion, and is Nightcrawler going to create a religion? They start talking with them about that. So it's just so, I don't know, like big picture stuff. I really enjoyed that part
of
the book.
Is it just me, or the whole concept of creating a religion seem a little odd?
That it does seem
more like something you, I don't know, discover.
Yeah, you discover. I'm thinking creating a religion. I'm thinking, okay, into the future, you know, we have Star Trek. They didn't create a religion because we're traveling on the stars. You know, they believed what they believed, or because they ran into things, or they chose not to believe because they just chose not to. But it just seems weird that they come together. We need to create our own religion. I don't think any religion comes about that way.
I think one or two have.
Oh, that's true.
But I think what most people would generally accept as historically, you know, grounds for religion and stuff is these are just beliefs people have that get codified and rituals and stuff around them. Nobody sat down one morning for the most part thinking, I am going to create a religion of thus and so.
Yeah, and literally pick this guy, hey, you like religion, why don't you create one for us?
Do we want one with a lot of kneeling and praying? Or do we want one with some of the singing? What kind of religion do we want here, you know? Let's go get some focus groups, and it doesn't work that way.
So I'm just interested to see where the heck that goes, because that could be very funny or very offensive. I don't know what's going to happen.
If you're going to have a spiritual leader of the X-Men, Nightcrawler is certainly, I think, one of the key players for that.
I agree.
But I would think there'd be one or two others that would come out of the woodwork that wouldn't be as obvious, but would probably be very appropriate for it. Colossus is coming to mind, actually.
Very true, Colossus.
And as an advisor, I would want Storm.
Yeah, definitely.
Because she's, you know, having been worshipped before kind of angle, you know, sort of a thing. And I think Cypher should play in, just because, you know, he would have some insights on the different religions, because he could read and understand what the original texts had said and hopefully meant.
Yeah, I hope that Crawler's not left to his own devices to kind of create a whole religion.
Certainly doesn't seem to be with that person there at the end, but yeah.
Very true, very true. Now, there were some books that I know you didn't get that I really enjoyed.
Okay.
My top picks of the month, there was two of them that were kind of tied. We're Thor number 14, because you're not on Thor, correct?
Correct. But we're going to be talking about that in an upcoming Back Issue Spotlight, so yeah.
So I'm not going to, you know, go into it, because we'll be doing a Back Issue Spotlight. I'll let you enjoy it and read it then. But I just put, I love this series by Cates.
Jeez, the what other a surprise. One that... I never would have I'm glad it hasn't let you down yet. So
it really hasn't. Every issue's good.
Cool.
Beta Ray Bill, issue number 2, which the art is not, you know, to my liking, per se. But it's a really good story. So we learn more about Beta Ray Bill as a person. He has interactions with Odin and his frustrations about his status, being able to change forms, and he's not able to do that because of stuff that happened. And so Odin's not able to help him because Odin doesn't have magic in him anymore. And so they send him to, I think it's called Muspelheim or whatever it's called. Basically the hell. from Asgard, and it's really kind of cool. So he's going after Sword, and he's going down to hell, and that's the adventure he went on. But really good story. I love it.
Cool. What did you think of Maestro War and Pax?
Oh, I really liked it. I thought it was really good.
I thought it was a good issue, but it kind of telegraphed some stuff, you know, with them talking about, oh, this stuff is so strong. It's like, anytime you mention that in a book that the Hulk is in, it's going to get ripped to shreds.
Yeah, when they started pouring that stuff and they're going on and on, I'm like, yeah, it's not strong enough. But it kind of reminded me of a Han Solo. That's what it made me think of.
A little of Han Solo, a little also of Torchwood.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I really like that. See, at the next level, like the ones that were the tier down, I like really Black Cat. I loved Immortal Hulk. I liked Immortal Hulk and the Maestro Warren Pax. I'm trying to go through here. Way of X, I kind of enjoyed. Now, one thing I was going to tell you, because I know you're not reading it, Savage Avengers,
mm-hmm.
which is like a Conan, but he's been interacting with all these Marvel characters. What the book has essentially turned into is Conan team up. Like, they had Marvel team up with Spider-Man and the, you know, character of the month.
Uh-huh.
So, like, they had an issue or two where he teamed up with Deadpool. Now he teamed up with Spider-Man. There's the Rhino in there. Now he's teaming up with these people. It's literally Conan and funny situations teaming up with people. But I kind of enjoy it because I like Conan.
I'm really curious what their licensing agreement is that makes them think this is a good thing to be doing long term.
That's because what I'm thinking.
They've had entire titles from the past that they cannot reprint because they don't have all the rights.
Yeah, they had that printing come out of Master of Kung Fu because they mm-hmm. didn't have Fu Manchu, the license. And once that omnibus sold out, there's no more reprints. It's gone. And so I think this is something where, I don't know, let's say it goes for 25, 30 issues and then the Conan license goes away. I don't know if it's going away. We could never see these things again. I don't know.
When you say we don't know if it's going away, either they've got it in perpetuity,
yep.
which seems like they would have made a big deal about and seems a little unlikely, or it eventually will go away.
Yeah.
I mean, there's either yes or no kind of to that sort of a thing. But I mean, they've got some S.H.I.E.L.D. stories that they can't reprint because they don't have the rights to Godzilla, and that's who they were fighting all the time.
Very frustrating, yeah.
You know, they had it for a little bit. They were able to get an essential or something out on it, but it makes me wonder how many of these stories could they find themselves in the position 5, 10, 20 years from now of just not being able to reprint.
It doesn't seem very smart unless they have, and I just can't imagine. I don't know. Maybe they're just going to let it go of single issues and then you can go hunt for them. I just have no clue.
I think it also, though, gets dicey if you then have stories that build on them later where you've got a reference and there's this guy in the shadow in the background that was a key player in the story. We just won't tell you who he was.
Exactly. It's in this issue that you can no longer purchase. Go dig in the back issue bits.
But this is also not a new thing for Marvel to have done. The whole Godzilla S.H.I.E.L.D. thing I talked about, ROM, Micronauts. It's actually surprising G.I. Joe wasn't kind of, you know, centered in the Marvel Universe at the time.
I could see that.
So, yeah.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, I'm still enjoying Conan. I think it's good. Daredevil has been a solid series. I've been reading that. And the one that ended, which I'm kind of happy to see it go away, but it was a good series, was King of Black. The main five-issue series was really good.
Mm-hmm.
All the spinoffs could have been chopped off and kind of thrown away. Maybe they had good stuff in it, but most of them weren't that great.
Yeah, I sat out the main King in Black stuff. I only got the tie-ins like Fantastic Four or the Avengers, stuff I was getting anyways. And sometimes it didn't really help those issues for me.
Yeah, you honestly didn't miss too much. If you're a big Venom fan, Eddie Brock fan and all that stuff, Flash fan, maybe, you know, their status quo changes there. But they'll probably tell you the beginning and the rundown of a comic if you're reading about it later on.
Oh, probably.
What happened.
And yeah, it seems like they're going to be doing more with Carnage or one of them soon.
Yeah, and Carnage, I never liked them, so I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to buy that.
Yeah, they're leaning a little too heavily into the symbiotes these days.
Yeah, and not to be too spoilery, but at one point Conan had a symbiote sword arm, so yeah.
Okay, that's funny.
He had an arm that turned into a sword. It was awesome.
So, I know I said that I'd only pre-ordered the first issue of Nonstop Spider-Man.
You didn't?
I was wrong. I ordered the first three.
Oh, and is it still not very good?
Well, I gave that second issue another fair shake, and it turns out that I didn't really like it any more than the first. So it gets that third issue, because, well, I've pre-ordered it, but yeah, I'm dropping the title.
Yeah.
Well, you know the irony of dropping Nonstop Spider-Man after issue three.
You're going to be stuck with the three-issue run, and there's only two to go.
No, it's delayed for a couple of months.
Oh, it's delayed? Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, this whole Nonstop, but it's like, that means you keep going. Doesn't mean you have delays. Yeah, kind of funny.
Yeah, there were some titles that, U.S. Agent, the last one came out, was not good. But there was, like, X-Men Legends that already canceled it. This was the third one, I got it. But I'm like, the ones that I almost want to cancel is, like, New Mutants, I'm not enjoying it that much right now. I mean, I like one of the characters in there.
Mm-hmm.
X-Force wasn't good. And for some stupid reason, I picked a... I shouldn't say a stupid reason. I heard, Doctor Strange is going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy, and or a new member. And so I'm like, not Doctor Strange, Doctor Doom. Yeah, so I'm like, oh, I'm going to get Guardians of the Galaxy 13. I'm just like, I still don't like it. So it's time to get rid of it again.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's a couple where it's like, you know what? I'm just going to drop a few of these things because they're not working for me. And if they're working for other people, that is great.
Yep.
But given how much some of these are costing and how long some of these stories take to play out, and some of it is, I think they're aiming for a different audience than I'm part of these days for some titles.
They really are. Some of them, they definitely are. And if that's the tact or the approach they want to take, you know, by all means, go that way. I just won't be along for the ride.
Hey, if they don't want to target somebody who's willing to pay a stupid amount of money for decent comics, that's fine.
Pretty much. That's both of us.
Certainly what I fell into a few years back. I'm getting better. And don't get me wrong, I love good comics and stuff like that, but some of these, and it's always been true that not every comic is brilliant. Just by nature of the beast, most are going to be average by definition.
Yep.
You know, it's just, some of them it's a little harder to give some of them some leeway that I used to give them.
I would agree.
Anything else on Marvel?
Nah, that pretty much did it for me.
All right, let's move over to the other titles.
Okay.
Publishers.
Still have quite a few of those.
For me, this is again was the thinnest part. I only got about 18 comics in here, and there were a couple that were just a swing and a miss, and a few that they were good, but really not much came out with just, wow, this was amazing.
Yeah, I agree with you there, because I'm looking through like my little scores that I gave the books. There was a few that I did enjoy, but the best of the bunch for me, I know you're not getting one of them, but another one I think you are. Shadecraft was the best, which was, I thought, really good. It's one you may want to consider doing a back issue spotlight on just because of our pick of the year last year, which we both chose.
Okay.
It's pretty decent. I like it. But the other one is, are you getting Geiger or Noctera? Either one of those two.
I got the first issue of Geiger as the only thing I pre-ordered.
Oh, okay, you only got the first. What did you think of it?
I thought it was okay, just not great enough for me to feel, gosh, I've got to go add this to my list.
Okay, yeah, it was kind of cool. I was like, all right, different. It wasn't what I was expecting because I don't really remember reading the solicit. But it was kind of weird, but good. I think I'm on board for a while, just to see where it goes.
It's a good creative team and stuff. It's just, it felt like yet another post-apocalyptic world, and it's, that's just not for me.
Yeah. Oh, another one that I would say was a pick of the month. Department of Truth number 8 came out.
Again, what a surprise.
It's the best title there is. No. I'm really enjoying that. I love that book. Did you get any of the Bad Idea comics? Is that what's called Bad Idea?
The Bad Idea, I did not. It seemed like a bad idea. No, I'm kidding. I didn't get any of them.
Okay, I ordered them just because I was like, I don't know why. I was like, got to try that. But you had to order all of them. Remember the order from the Eric sent out?
Yeah, that seems like a bad idea to me.
Yeah, everything about this company is a bad idea. One of the stories I did not like at all. I was like, ugh, but I'm on board for it because I didn't really enjoy that one. But the ENIAC one was pretty decent. I thought it was really good. But I think everything this company has done is a bad idea, limiting the number of stores, you know, like these weird schemes that they're doing just to make them highly collectible. Bad idea, but the story of ENIAC itself was really pretty decent. I thought it was good.
I've just found their whole marketing push a little off-putting.
It is. I don't know why they're doing stuff that they're doing other than to create scarcity and speculation.
I guess. And, I mean, they've got smart people all the way around. I mean, Hunter, their marketing guy, he's sharp. He was over at Valiant for quite some time, among other places. So, I mean, they've got a game plan, and if it works for them, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, I bought them. I would say if you ever get a chance to read any of them, ENIAC was decent. It's basically about ENIAC becoming the first AI in 1945,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the human, they realize that the first atomic bomb was the humans deciding that. The second was a message from ENIAC where it kind of took control. So people are trying to kill the AI, but you can't really kill the AI when it's out there and it's doing stuff. So that's the whole premise. It's kind of a funny story. When I say funny, it's a good story. It's just...
It's funny, that whole, you know, nuclear apocalypse thing aside, you know.
Yeah, boom. how about, did you get the Berserker thing?
I did not.
Oh, okay. I thought the second issue was better than the first. I know it's going to be a movie or a TV series, or I think it's a movie, but it's really, really, really good. I'm enjoying that comic a lot.
Cool. Did you get Project Patron?
I did not. What is Project Patron?
The basic concept there is they've got a Superman type. He had like a fight kind of like with Doomsday and stuff in which it seemed like he died, but he came back.
Ah!
Only in this world, he did die, and they've basically either cloned him and have, you know, people remote control, like controlling the drone or what have you, sort of a thing.
Ah, cool.
So it's an interesting concept. It took the entire issue to kind of get that whole premise thing out there, and most of the issue seemed to be, you know, here's the list of suspects for the murder that takes place at the end of the first issue, which they had told you was going to happen in the solicit. And I'm wondering, I mean, they possibly could have just started with the second issue. I haven't read it yet, so I don't know. It was good, but I felt could have been better.
That makes sense. Now, I thought you had gotten Berserker number one.
No.
Oh, you hadn't gotten that either.
Hadn't gotten that either.
Holy mackerel. Anyways, well, this one was kind of cool. I could tell you about it. I don't know if you're ever going to read it, but I thought it was a good book.
All right. Interesting.
Yeah. Keanu Reeves, you can totally tell they based the character, the drawing of the book. Yeah. It is him.
That was so obvious that this was, here's a property that we're going to toss out there because we want to do a movie on it.
Yeah, basically the whole premise behind it, the first issue you have all these action sequences with him doing stuff and getting injured, but taking on, you know, taking out teams of 30 or 40 people, you know, it's like a mass weapon, you know, mm-hmm. or a super being, basically. And this takes you into the past because he's, you know, going into his memories and let's say back 8,000 years ago. And his parents, you know, are in a village where they're always getting raped and pillaged and everything taken, and they pray for a weapon, you know, to their gods, please give us a weapon. And she's pregnant and 60 days later gives birth to him. He's the weapon.
Ah.
So that's the whole premise behind the thing. So
okay.
That's all we've gotten of the story. It's not really a spoiler because there's a lot more story to it than that, but that's the premise. It's pretty cool.
Cool.
But a lot of violence, which you probably wouldn't care for.
Now, seemed, again, action blockbuster in the making.
Yeah.
Which, and there's nothing wrong with that, just not what I want to go read.
Now, Nocterra, you're not reading that. That was the Scott Snyder book that went to Image, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, the Earth and Darkness, the Great PM, and basically our hero has two people that she's carrying. She's like, she carries people's freight, you know, with lights on mm-hmm. everywhere on her truck. And there's a man who claims he's going to bring back the light, but he's being hunted by these people who don't want him to do that. So that's the premise behind what we're doing right now. And they're afraid of the dark and bad things happen in the dark.
Cool.
Yeah, good story. But, I mean, there was a lot of decent stuff, but not a lot of knock-your-socks-off stuff. I'm trying to go through here and see which ones. Like, you weren't getting Black Hammer Visions, which I thought was decent. Those are one-off stories. Crossover, did you like it? Is the last issue? But it wasn't the last issue?
The two-page splash, it had a ton of other characters.
Holy mackerel, it did!
And a couple that I wasn't expecting, like some of the Astro City characters and stuff.
Yeah!
So, kudos to playing nice and getting permission to get all those. I thought that was cool. The reveal at the end was interesting, but not all that surprising.
Yep.
Not gonna say I saw it coming, but it's one of those that really fits what they'd been doing. So, yeah, okay.
Yep. Now, did you notice something about the writer and artist? Donnie Cates is done after issue 6, so... Oh.
I don't think so.
I thought it said issue 7, and it kind of scratched out his name, and it had a different person. Is it
Chip Zdarsky? It may just be a single issue he's doing that.
Oh, I thought Chip was picking it up. I was like, oh my gosh, he's off of it.
I don't think so.
Okay. Fingers crossed he's not. Maybe Zdarsky's just doing a few issues. But I saw that. I was like, man, is he gone? That stinks.
I'm curious where this goes, and if we're going to get a lot more cameos and stuff like that from other characters from other places and stuff. If so, I think that's awesome. I mean, it'd be... a great opportunity for some people who may own some copyrights to characters that are kind of languishing out in limbo to kind of test the waters and see if there's some interest.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, it was kind of funny. I think they had a write-up on Bleeding Cool, a little story, mm-hmm. and they were showing basically like the Indicia or whatever, you know, showing the trademark stuff because of Dark Horse, you know, the Kurt Busiek characters, you have all the – and it was just like, oh my gosh, there was like a whole 2 pages of information for trademark copyright. I was like, that's insane, but it was kind of funny because there were so many characters and – people we or characters we didn't expect to be in there. I was like, wow, that's pretty amazing.
Well, the Indicia went on for a bit just because there was a lot of stuff, but I mean, it was, you know, I don't know, half the page it felt like. But what I liked was on the credits kind of right before that, they had a, you know, special thanks to kind of a deal.
Yeah.
To everybody who'd let them, you know, play with their toys, which was nice.
I guess Donnie Cates is very well liked, and I think that's kind of cool that he has that many friends and people you reach out to, and they're just like, yeah, you can write my character in there. Sure, go ahead.
Well, in a lot of them, it was just they're going to be in the background. They're not really doing anything.
Yeah.
But in some cases, it does kind of sort of potentially play into what these characters have potentially done in the past.
Very true.
I mean, there's nothing to say that the Astro City characters, this wasn't one of those big crossover, you know, intergalactic things that they'd referenced at some point in the past.
Very true.
So, yeah, it was cool.
Now, did you like Scouts Honor 4? I think you're still reading that, correct?
I am still reading that. I thought it was a solid issue that kind of changes the status quo leading up to what seems to be the conclusion next issue.
Yep, I thought that was good too. And how about Seven Secrets? Did you like that?
Seven Secrets, I thought it was a good issue, but it felt a little interlude-y kind of a thing.
It did. It felt like it went a little off the rails with the whole fairy thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know how I felt about it. I'm like, eh.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was at. Yeah, they seem to be part of the backstory, but it's like, really, that's what you would have trusted them at all, kind of a thing.
Very true.
It just feels like coming in and out of this issue, other than a little bit of backstory and stuff that seemed tangential, you could almost skip over this issue and it wouldn't matter.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt too. So we're both having the same feeling. Yeah. Now, did you pre-order or did you order Jules Verne's Lighthouse?
I did.
What did you think of that?
I thought it was interesting, not totally sure where they're going. It feels like it's going to be kind of a 5-issue. You're out in this outpost and you've got to survive long enough to not get killed before the end of the story.
Yep, that's exactly what I felt. And I thought it was good. It wasn't great. It was good. And, you know, for $4.99, they gave you like 56 pages. It was a lot of material to read.
Haberlin's stuff, usually they do pretty good on the page count and the amount of story per issue.
Yeah, I was just like, holy mackerel, I started reading that and it took forever.
Because this is the same basic creative team that had been doing, what was the one with the magic users with the tattoos?
I can't remember the name of it now. But yes, we had reviewed that and I can't remember the people who flew around and the little monsters on the planet.
Yeah, that one too. Yeah, yeah, you know the ones I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I just didn't remember the titles.
Me too.
But he's also done Faster Than Light. He's done a bunch of them.
He's done a bunch. He even did some really big books that you can kind of fold out. Awkward shaped books.
Anomaly.
He had two Anomaly books. I bought
two Anomaly books, and they're like hundreds of pages. They're the longest original graphic novels I think that have been done.
Yeah, which is insane. Yeah, it's like tons of material in there, and like you said, OGN. Just he puts a lot into his books. It's like crazy.
Yeah, yeah. If you've got the chance to see him at a convention when he's doing one of his panels and stuff, he goes into some of the creative process behind it, and it really, he's got a methodology, and he's able to get a lot of stuff out with good quality at a good clip.
Yeah. I will tell you one funny thing before we, you know, we're kind of wrapping up stuff here. Mm-hmm. Black Hammer Visions number 3. Every issue, I think there's only going to be 8 issues, so not very many more. They pick a different artist and writer, and they team them up. And this one time it was Chip Starsky and Johnny Christmas with the artist. And what's funny is I liked it because it spoke to me and where I am in my life. And it was the Abraham Slam was one of the characters from Black Hammer. And there's this character that they kind of that comes up with the police and stuff called the Slam. And he's like, that's my name. You know, so he kind of approaches him at a gym and challenges the younger guy, the old lion versus the young lion. And.
Mm-hmm.
The old lion gets the snot beat out of him. But it's just a whole life story about realizing where you are and giving up the torch and just being like, I'm okay with my age and just let the young guys do this and I don't have to compete. And I'm like, that just so spoke to me as I go to CrossFit and hurt myself trying to compete with the young guys.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's hilarious. I was like, this is my story. This is my book.
Yeah. Well, I think every comic has the potential of talking to somebody.
This one talked to me.
The question is, can they talk to enough somebodies to stick around?
Yeah, very true.
And I think if you're doing a comic that's talking to those that are, I'm not going to say we're past our prime, but we're not as young as we used to be.
Yeah.
I think comics are a really good vehicle for targeting that crowd.
I agree. I really do agree with that.
Because if you're looking for the young, you know, coming of age type stuff, I don't know how many of that group are reading comics these days.
Not very many. Unfortunately, not very many at all. I'll tell you what, this month, or when I say this month, the month of April, I felt like the month of March was a little bit better than the month of April. I felt like this was a little bit of an interlude month as we're preparing for May for the big events.
Yeah, I think there were a couple of things that were kind of either just starting up and didn't really get past the premise point, or a few things where it was just a swing and a miss. And there were a lot of things that were good, but not a ton of stuff that was just, wow, that was really impressive.
Yeah, it was more like a good to, and a lot of okay, you know? Just like, oh, that's okay, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why I was a little disappointed for April, but I think I'm hoping May will be good. I'm hoping what is it called? Is it Heroes Reborn?
Heroes Reborn.
I'm hoping that's a good event. We'll see. You know, DC, we'll see what they're going to be doing. I don't know.
I like Squadron Supreme, so if they do a decent take on it, it'll be fun.
Yeah, I agree. Fingers crossed for good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Anything else?
No, that does it for me.
Cool. The June previews came out on May 26th, and the deadline for preview spotlight number 163 is the morning of Saturday, June 5th. Recording clips for the preview spotlight episodes is easy, and we've got an open submission policy for these episodes. Please send in clips to support the comics you love as often as you can. If you'd like to get email reminders for the preview spotlight episodes, you can join the emailing list on the main page of the comicbookpage.com website. And a quick reminder that we've also got the recommendation roundtable episodes going. The point of those episodes is to help people find other ways to spend their time. So send in pics of comic books, either older ones, back issues, trades, whatever, novels, television shows, movies, video games, if there's a board game you think people might really enjoy or something. Let's get that out there. We've got a lot of ways we can spend our time in helping people find things that they might be interested in. It's just a great thing to do. I've gotten a lot of clips from Billy Hogan. I want to thank him for that. It reminded me that I should really go reread Astro City and put a few other things kind of back on my radar, including a couple of novels he recommended. I've added those to my reading list. We'll see when I get to them. But we've got no deadline for these episodes. The way these episodes work is you send in one clip per pick, and that could be a particular book or video game or TV show, or it could be a series of books. Anything that's kind of a unified thing. And when I get enough of those clips, I'll string them together, I'll kick out an episode. So that means if I get tons of clips, like when Billy sent me about, I don't know, an hour and 45 minutes of some great clips, that was enough for me to get two episodes put together, about an hour for one and about 45 minutes or so for the other. So that's what episodes 2 and 3 are. But if I don't get clips, it may be a while before that next episode comes out. And the reason I'm doing this is there are a lot of things hitting like the streaming services and stuff like that on not really a set cadence like we've got for the preview spotlight. So if you wake up one morning and say, you know what, there's a bunch of stuff I think people might enjoy, spend a few minutes, send in the clips, they get in the queue. And if it's another few months before you do the next one, that's great. But hopefully we have enough people sending in clips on a regular enough basis that we can be putting one of these episodes out every month, every other month, or something like that. So once again, the point here is just to recommend older comic books, novels, television shows, movies, video games, or anything else that doesn't really fit the format of the preview spotlight, but that you really want to kind of share your love of and encourage other people to check out. So once again, there's no deadline on those recommendation roundtable clips. It's an open invitation for everybody at all times. So please send in clips when you've got something you're thinking about and share the love.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.